Log Talk Radio.
While I was sleeping, Lord, you were working on the mess I made like only I can do. When I start thinking I'm so far from you, I wake up to hear you whisper, that's not true. Well, good morning, mercy. You call me worthy. Feels like the sun shining on my face. Living's good this side of grace.
Friends and supporters of the Saturday Morning Entertainment Show, brought to you from the Caribbean Global Voice. Now, you're going to hear a little different voice greeting you first thing up this morning, because Mr. Ivor Henry, your normal every Saturday morning host, is taking off on a trip. Not an exciting trip as such, but a trip nevertheless. And so let me say for now, good morning to Ivor and his family, to Barbara and her family. They have taken off to the British Virgin Islands to participate in the life celebration service for a family member. So we also gonna say good morning and condolences to the entire family. We also wish to extend our hope for safe travels for Barbara and Ivor and anyone else who has to go back and forth to attend that funeral service. Thanksgiving service, because that's what it's called nowadays. You know, you're giving life, you're giving thanks for the life of someone who has been with us for some period of time, moved on from this physical plane of existence. Good morning to all the fans, friends, and supporters. You know, I've got big shoes to fill. It's never easy to fill the big shoes of a little man, but I'm going to do my best to bring you the best show that I can. There are a couple of things that we're not going to have this morning, as the usual course of this show, because David has taken off on a little vacation of his own. I'm not sure if it's vacation, but it sounds like vacation. So David has taken off on a day, and he has taken on a course of travel on his own. But like I said, I'm going to give you my best to do the best show that I can do, because, you know, like I said before, it's not easy to fill the big shoes of a little man. But I'm going to give it the best shot I got. Hope you will be just as happy and excited about what we've got for this morning. Now, there are a lot of things happening around the world and around the Caribbean. This week, earlier this week, I was able to attend a Caribbean Studies conference that was held at the University of the Virgin Islands, organized, of course, by one of the most active members of this community, Dr. Chinsira Davis Kahina. And it was quite an experience. I met people from, you know, all parts of the Caribbean and the world at large. There was a young lady that I met. She is from Nigeria. She lives in Canada. She's a member of the Caribbean Studies Association. And so, you know, she ends up here in the Virgin Islands, and she loves it. We had delegates from St. Martin, Jamaica, you know, Trinidad and Tobago, all in, you know, contact. And the reason why I'm so excited about it, because it has given me this new sense of purpose, this new sense of excitement, because within the format of that conference, I realized maybe we are not as lost as we were, because there were some very young people there who were expressing a different approach than what we see on a day-to-day basis. They are people working behind the scenes to actually transform the Caribbean. And that was the theme of the conference, transforming the Caribbean. The important thing is that they were not just talking about transforming the Caribbean from what it is right now as a beginning stage. They were trying to understand how transformation of the Caribbean has been a centuries-old effort, and that's what's exciting about me. We are going back to the tradition of our ancestors, of the origins of this transformation. We are looking at people like Toussaint Louverture, Jean-Jacques Dessalines, Henri Christophe. Those are the principals who transformed Haiti from a slave colony to an independent black republic. So we need to understand what they did, what they were thinking, and fashion a Caribbean, and not just the Caribbean, and fashion a world according to their vision. We're looking at Marcus Garvey. We're looking at people like Hubert Harrison, Kwame Nkrumah, you know, and people like that. It was really, really very exciting conference. So I had to say that a bit to you. Let me say good morning to the special fans of the show, and all in one breath, we'll come back on with a special attention to you at a later point in your greetings, and to all Caribbean people and people of African ancestry everywhere. Good morning, good morning, good morning to you all over the world. This is the Caribbean Global Voices, and this is our inspirational section, as it is called. So hopefully we'll be able to bring you some inspirational music and some inspirational art. Let me start off with one of the most powerful voices of that inspiration. It's the morning. Bob Marley. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's the late great Nestor Marley. What a great way! What would great a way to start the day off by with the assurance that everything is gonna be all right today. Hey, that's inspirational in itself. Okay, let me continue with something on the more of a gospel side, as we designated, Sister Carleen Davis.
Yeah.
not Sister Carolyn Davis giving you her version of praising God all the time in a rhythm that is of African origin and Caribbean expression. I'm going to give you a little something a little different. Not a place of Caribbean expression, but comes nevertheless on the gospel side. You're going to enjoy this because this is something from way back that you would have heard. It's a medley. So get your fitness, dance, do whatever you can with this one. There we go. Sorry about that one. This is the one I meant to give you.
My father, Isaac Liverpool, and my mother, Edwardine Bartholomew, used to sing many songs and sankeys. So often that I learnt them all.
A little more oil in the lamp, keep it burning. A little more oil in the lamp, I pray. A little more oil in the lamp, keep it burning. Keep it burning till the break of day.
And when he walked home from the garden, all his peas and his corn, under the stress and load of the day, oh, he would sing, and there was I, listening to him, and hear him.
I am a warrior, out in the field, and I can sing, and I can shout, and I can tell it all about, that Jesus died for me. When I get over yonder in that happy paradise, when I get over yonder in the peace.
And on a Sunday morning, we would walk to my aunt in Bethel. And when she would be making a pea soup, and she would be singing while the pea soup boiling, oh, what sweet voices between my father and herself. While I yearn for the pea soup, she sang,
how sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. It soothes his sorrow, heals his wounds, and drives away his fear. It makes the wounded spirit whole and calm the troubled breast.
To bed at night, and he said his prayer. He must sing, even though he sang a very long prayer. He gave God thanks for the day in this manner.
I must have the Savior with me, for I dare not walk alone. I must have His presence near me.
Took him and the giddiness, he never gave up. He even gave God thanks for the illness, singing all the time.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a fortress of glory divine. Yeah, of salvation, purchase of love, born of the Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song,
Catholic. And when he sang his Baptist hymns and sankeys, she would come to him with a Catholic hymn. And so she was trying to shut him up. But she sang with a beautiful and sweet voice. And she sang,
oh, come to the throne of grace. Oh, come to the heart most pure, to marry your hope of life, in whom salvation is sure. Oh, Lady of Fatima, Immaculate Mother of Grace, oh, pray for us, help us today.
Somebody in the village died, or his good friends died. Sometimes he didn't go to the funeral, but he stayed home and he sang. He was at the funeral in the spirit.
Shall we ever all meet again? Shall we ever all meet again? On that great judgment morning, when the book shall be opened and the name shall be called. Oh, how sad it will be when I take my departure and I turn away from heaven for not serving my Lord.
And when he had no money and he was depressed, or he won nothing in the sweepstakes and poverty stared him in his face, oh, he turned to the God, to his God. Love lifted him.
I was singing deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stayed within, thinking to rise no more, no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cries. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me, when nothing else can help.
In the evening, by the moonlight,
evening by the moonlight. You could hear the banjo ringing. How the old folks would enjoy it. They would sit all night and listen as we sang in the evening by the moonlight.
Was once from Dr. Hollis Liverpool, known more popularly around the Caribbean as the Mighty Chalk, the Calypsonian teacher, educator, philosopher, one and everything else. And I'm sure, you know, those people who remember the Caribbean music transforming the solemn music of religion into something, an exciting celebration, as African people are as African people are accustomed to when they consider themselves praising God. If those of you who remember the Song of Solomon, who said you praise God with joyous excitement, and Solomon was the quintessential philosopher of his day. African man, that's how we celebrate things. So I know, you know, a lot of people who grew up in the Caribbean with me and remember that transformation would have thoroughly enjoyed that piece. I hope Marcus and everybody else had their share of their dancing and praising during that one. Okay, I'm going to give you something a little bit more on the southern side, in the random.
When you're up on the mountain, you've got peace of mind like you've never known. But things change when you're down in the valley. You're never alone. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, He'll make them right. And the God of the good times,
wait. Go placidly amid the noise and haste, and remember what peace there may be in silence. As far as possible without surrender, be on good terms with all persons. Speak your truth quietly and clearly, and listen to others, even the dull and ignorant. They too have their story. Avoid loud and aggressive persons. They are vexations to the spirit. If you compare yourself with others, you may become vain and bitter, for always there will be greater and lesser persons than yourself.
You are a child of the universe, no less than the trees and the stars. You have a right to be here. It is clear to you. No.
Enjoy your achievements as well as your plans. Keep interested in your own career. However humble, it is a real possession in the changing fortunes of time. Exercise caution in your business affairs, for the world is full of trickery. But let this not blind you to what virtue there is. Many persons strive for high ideals, and everywhere life is full of heroism. Be yourself. Especially do not feign affection. Neither be cynical about love. For in the face of all aridity and disenchantment, it is as perennial as the grass. Take kindly the counsel of the years, gracefully surrendering the things of youth. Nurture strength of spirit to shield you in sudden misfortune, but do not distress yourself with imaginings. Many fears are born of fatigue and loneliness. Beyond a wholesome discipline, be gentle with yourself.
You are a child
of the universe. No less than the trees and the stars. You have a right to be here. And whether or not it is clear to you, no doubt the universe is unfolding as it should. Therefore, be at peace with God, whatever you conceive Him to be. And whatever your labors and aspirations in the noisy confusion of life, keep peace with your soul. With all its sham, drudgery, and broken dreams, it is still a beautiful world. Be careful. Strive to be happy.
You are a child of the universe.
I know you watch.
things I had to say. Think I called his spirit later that same year. I'm sure I heard his echo in my baby's newborn tears. I just wish I could have told him in the living years. To say it's me.
Though I've been loved alone. Good morning, Mr. Cardinal. How are you doing?
I am well. I am. And how are you doing?
Oh, I'm blessed today. Today is a good day so far. So I'm thankful, grateful, and happy.
Great. Thankful, grateful, happy. That's the whole point.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to know if the entertainment, maybe I should ask Kathleen about that, she was asking, if the entertainment portion of the thing, you know, served its purpose this morning, you know, like I say, I need somebody to let me know what I am doing a great job satisfying the dire desires and inspirational needs of the of our listeners. So what do you think?
Oh, it sure is. I was digging the song. Had me a little dig while I was doing what I'm doing. I did enjoy it, so. So far, good.
Okay, you know, let the fans know that's part of Marjorie's job to critique the show, and she does it very well. You know, we're not expecting Marjorie to put any punches. So I could ask her right up front, and she will let me know what is the thing. That's why she's a special fan, because she's gonna let us know how well this show is doing, and you are. Thank you, Marjorie. And you know,
yeah. I was singing at the top of my voice because I know most of the songs, so it was good. Anywho, I'd like
how
to say good before I leave.
How is Mama Baptist
doing? He is still down and out. But
okay.
God help me moving along, and hopefully things turn out better this month, this today, for the rest of the week, you know, because it's been hard on her, so just keep us in your prayers. I'll be very grateful. Appreciate it.
Yes,
so before
you know,
I leave, I'd just like to say good morning to one and all. I hope that wherever you are, you're at peace and enjoying the beautiful life that God has given us. So to my family back home in Nevis, thank you all over. Stay blessed. And here in New York, peace be with you guys. Morning to Leon, Dennis, Lynette, Kathleen. I hope you all are doing well. And to Ivor and his family, we send our condolences to them. I hope wherever they are, they're gathering with one another and comforting one another. So these are times when we all have to get together and just love one another, take care of each other. So be blessed and safe trip back home. And to you, Mr. C. Oh, you're doing a great job. So continue. I won't be with you for the rest of the show, but I'll be listening. And you take care, enjoy the show, and give us a good finish, as usual.
I'm going to do my best. You know, I have to do what?
Yes.
Your spirit recommended, because you're the critic, and we know we deeply appreciate you for being the person that you are, upfront, and because it helps us to get better. So thank you much. She's not going to be with us for the rest of the show, but she will be listening, and we'd always appreciate her input. Thank you much, and have a great rest of the day. And our prayers, and the hope for the energy of the universe would flow to Mommy Babsy in these days of being down and bring her back up. We know the kind of spirit that she is in, and she's the kind of person who often lifts our spirit, even when we are at our work.
Yes.
So we hope that the universe with her and secure her safety. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you so much. And I know you feel that little man big shoes. So enjoy. Have a good day. I just needed to say that.
Sounds good, isn't it?
Yeah, it sounds good.
Must be dead now.
All right.
Thank
you.
Take care. Good morning. Lynette is coming in, so let me give her a chance to tell you good morning.
Ooh.
Good morning, Lynette.
Okay.
Good morning, good morning. Marches, good morning. Morning, Cardinal.
Good morning, Lynette.
How are you guys doing? Oh, I'm here in the land of the living.
Okay,
giving praise
good.
And thanks. Yeah.
That's good. Well, I'm about to leave, so I was just telling Cardinal goodbye and I holler at you. So you have a good day. Keep Cardinal company for me. And we'll be all the
good. You have a good one, too.
Love you guys.
Catch you later.
Love you guys. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Be good.
Tell mommy hello.
I will do that. Thank you.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye-bye now.
Well, that brings the inspirational portion to a close, and it was a great thing to finish it off with the voice of no other than Marcus Nesbitt. And we begin this next portion introducing the voice of Lynette. Lynette is coming out of ticket, and you know, as you know, just like Marcus, Lynette is one of our special fans who doesn't hold back to tell us what our show needs to get it off, to grow it, to be better, to serving our listeners better. So she's one of those who get the questions. It's the 10th of June, and that might be a date of maybe not a fond memory for people in St. Kitts. Then it's coming out of there. Is it the 10th of June, or am I missing the date?
Yesterday is the 10th of June. Because yesterday was my daughter's birthday, and that was the 9th. And today is the 10th of June. But, you know, at
the
10th of June, I was just about maybe 8 years old or so. I just remember faintly what went down, really. And I don't get involved.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get involved because I think that's gone.
Okay.
But every year they try to bring it back up and blow it up, and I don't get involved in that.
Okay. Well, it's an event of lasting memory, I'm sure. It's an event of lasting. It's an event of lasting memory, I'm sure, in the minds of the people of the leaders. So they will make reference.
Well, I don't think it's Nevis. Think it's Nevis and Anguilla, because Anguilla celebrated their 50th anniversary of moving away from St. Kitts.
Okay. This week? I think the first event on that happened, in February?
1967.
Right. And, you know, whether you like it or not, it's an event in our history. And I do not think that events in our history could be put aside so summarily. We should understand them, why they occur, so that they would not be repeated. And that's why we have historians, hopefully to put things in perspective. Now, sometimes the historians do not get it right, but the social commentators sometimes get it right. Like the Calypsonians, the philosophers, they put it into perspective better. So the thing is, we can't avoid the fact that it is an event in our history. It's an event in our history. And any event in our history has an impact on what we do today and how we behave today. So the fact that people would talk about it at this point, 50-something years later, is not so much that they talk about it, but maybe more in terms of the tone in which they talk about it, maybe more in terms of the information that they disseminate, because information can get very, how should I say, confusing at times. It can get very cloudy. People's memories fade, and people remember things as it serves their convenience at times. So if we keep remembering the incident, we might be able to get what at some point we might be able to get our narratives straight. So I don't find it contentious that people would talk about it. The thing is that the purpose for which you talk about it, are you recalling our history just for the purpose of creating contention or acrimony, or are you calling it so that we can get our narrative straight and not to forget, so that we repeat the same mistakes in the future? That's my thought on the matter. Like I say, it's the 10th of June. A lot of people are celebrating birthdays. I have a dear friend of mine who I usually forget her birthday on the 3rd. And for some strange reason, maybe known only to me, I usually get there and celebrate her birthday on the 10th, 1 week later. And I would call her, and it's been happening for years. And I would call her and say, happy birthday. He said, my birthday was last week. And that week, the day, right? Like today's Saturday, the 10th, but her birthday was last Saturday, the 3rd. So I'm going to say happy birthday still to Miss Sherilyn Blake up there in New York. Happy birthday. Let this be my day for saying happy birthday to you. It's been happening for years. So I'm going to say it again. Happy birthday, Sherilyn. Hoping that you're going to have a great day today. No, things are not as great as you would like, but enjoy the day nevertheless. She's continuing to be somebody like Mortis, not celebrating birthdays anymore. But I've got to be one of the persons who got to be thankful for her presence on this planet on June 3rd, even though I insist on celebrating it on June 10th. It's okay if she doesn't want to celebrate it. I got to remember her special place on this planet as the Creator permitted. Thank you. And I'm going to say again. Until I get to say something else, I'm going to say again, happy birthday. Anybody you got to say happy birthday to? Yesterday was the birthday of your daughter, Lynette.
Yes, yesterday was the birthday of my daughter, my one and only daughter, Dr. Samantha Fox. She had a good day. Her husband always makes sure she have a good day, so that's good.
Okay. And
she's not here with me. She's not here. She's away, so.
Okay.
Yep.
So we can still say happy birthday to her, even though it was yesterday. We invite her to celebrate until the end of June, so she got up to the 30th to celebrate. That's what we invite here on the Saturday Morning Entertainment Show. I'm wondering if Donna has any birthdays to share with us. Donna, come on in.
Oh, yes, I have one birthday. My second granddaughter, yes. Janique Webb, is celebrating her 3rd birthday today. So I say happy birthday to my granddaughter, Janique, over there in Nevis. Yes.
Hello, Donna. Morning.
Hi, good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing excellent. It's hot, but I'm fine.
Okay.
You know, you're doing all right. Chores in the Caribbean, how hot it could get.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, the Federation gone crazy once more, but let's pray. We need a prayer.
Yeah, they're gone crazy. They seem to have behaved.
We're going to talk about that a little later.
We pray that it continues because I don't know.
We're going to talk about that a little later, Donna. So hold your thoughts. Hold your thoughts, Lynette.
Okay.
We're going to talk about that craziness a little bit later. We're coming on with you. So let me remind you this. It's June 10th. We invite those who celebrate birthdays in June to come on in here and celebrate with us. It's going to be a great day. It's the Saturday Morning Entertainment Show brought to you by the Caribbean Global Voices. Your host today is Cardinal Ivor Candice. He's taking care of matters everywhere. David cannot be here, who's usually on at this time, bring us up. David having a great time in Cancun. But, hey, we say greetings to David anyway, and we wish him all the best.
Oh, David is on vacation.
David is on vacation, and we enjoy that.
Nice. I'm looking forward to mine, too.
There you go. And Ivor is doing another type of celebration, the celebration of the life of a family member, his brother-in-law, or I should say his sister-in-law, who has just passed on. His wife's sister-in-law, who has just passed on. So we convey our best wishes to them. And as we talk about, as Donna just mentioned, the craziness that's going on in the Federation, that's in the Federation of St. David, but that's the craziness that's happening the world over and throughout the Caribbean. This is Caribbean Global Voices. So you're going to hear a little bit more about that. But in the meantime, like I said earlier, I attended a conference earlier this week that ran the course of this week of the Caribbean Studies Association. It was a very enlightening conference. Enlightening for me because I say I heard the voices of some young people who are understanding the crisis that the Caribbean is in. And I'm saying, we are going to go forward. They are not yet in positions of administration. But they're saying, we are going to go forward and transform this into something else. And that's good to hear. Because normally, I don't hear that. We got to look forward to what the upcoming generation has to offer. And we have to harvest and shape that into something that would create an atmosphere that is better for us to live in. What I see most of the time, I got to tell you, is youngsters with guns in their hands shooting at each other and then filing their way through the criminal justice system to be punished. And it doesn't stop. And one of the things that they say, ask them, why do you have to have a gun? And they say, it's for protection. Protection from who? And this is where the question, this is where the discussion really gets disconcerting. Because who are you looking for protection from? It could be anybody, including your own brother. And I'm not saying brother in the general sense. I'm saying brother in the genetic sense. Your father's son. Your mother's son. That's how serious it has become. That's frightening. I know that when we went to church, they tell us that that's the way we've been all the time because Cain killed Abel. Okay? But that was just the philosophy. That was just the philosophy that explained the experience that we are having now. So we have progressed towards that circumstance. So here were our people writing our history, and then we were just walking into it. Cain and Abel was not a killing that happened sometime in the past. It's the killing. It was mentioned earlier time in our history, but it is happening now. It is our current experience. So we got to shake that up. We're going to talk some more about that later. In the meantime, let's look at some people who have offered their best in attempting to transform our social environment from what it is right now and into something better. Okay? I'm going to offer you, it's really a complex situation, very complex situation. So I'm going to try to identify it from its roots. Okay? And I think this is one of the things that helps us identify the origins of our social antagonism.
When does someone really become a good citizen? I'd like to know for sure. Why, when the ordinary man disagrees with the establishment, they call it treason? Why should they persecute a brother for seeking black power? Don't they know a blind man could see that this is blatant hypocrisy? The real traitors and them are all high in society. Yet the government protecting all of them and penalizing you and me. And in a million different ways they violate the law. It's the same good, no good bastards who oppress the poor. They're selling black market, making excess profit, paid a starvation salary. These good citizens are the architects of economic slavery. They say you have the right to criticize, but then you are victimized, and without any reason. Many a time you find yourself politically paralyzed by that same good citizen. Yet these fakes and phonies enjoy a long life of luxury where they spread corruption throughout the country. When they should be arrested, they're protected and respected in the society. And in a million different ways, they violate the law. It's the same good, no good bastards who oppress the poor. With a false declaration, tax evasion, defrauding customs duty. These good citizens are the architects of economic slavery. In greed and fraud and strife, they specialize. Double deals, double deals, they idolize. If you're brave enough to open your mouth and criticize, one time you are ostracized and or victimized. Still they go unpunished and unaccused of any crime, while on the backs of the ordinary man these vultures climb. They use the riches and the power, make a mockery of the law, and have the law protect them. Same time, in a million different ways, they violate the law. It's the same good, no good bastards who oppress the poor. They control and bootlegging, dope peddling, prostitution and piracy. These good citizens are the architects of economic slavery.
Yes, that was the Mighty Sparrow singing the good citizens, and their contributions to the social chaos that we're now experiencing here in the Caribbean. That's the voice of the Caribbean, stretching global. Caribbean Global Voices, the Saturday Morning Entertainment Show, your host for today, Cardinal Mill. Now, let me just step aside a bit and greet the many special fans who have made this show such a great discovery, a great find, and a great contribution to an experience on a Saturday morning. So I'm going to go up to New York. I'm going to say good morning to Marcus, Nina, Donna, Sharon, and Lady Bobsy Nisbet, whom we heard earlier on is not doing as great as she would like, but we convey our best wishes for her recovery and getting back to the old, spicy, you know, entertaining and inspiring Bobsy Nisbet that we are accustomed to. Our prayers, thoughts, and energy with you, and we summon the energy of the universe to help you, to assist you in your recovery. Lady Bobsy Nisbet, get well soon. I'm going to go on down to St. Martin, where I'm going to say good morning to Irma Thompson and Carlos over there in St. Martin. I have occasion to have met at the Caribbean Studies Conference a representative from the island of St. Martin, an interesting delegate who is advocating to reduce St. Martin, I should say, restore St. Martin to the ownership of the people who live there and stop calling us Dutch and French and things like that. Maybe some people don't have a resistance to that, but I find that to be, from a young person, to be quite encouraging. Good morning, Carlos. Good morning, Irma. Good morning to all the fans, friends, and supporters over there in St. Martin. We're going to move on to St. Kitts, where we talked to Lynette, and we just had a little discussion, a little part of our discussion with Lynette. You already heard her voice, and you've known her here for some time. Good morning, Lynette. Having a great day over there in St. Kitts, in spite of the challenges, I hope. I'm going to go on over to Nevis, and I'm going to say good morning to Mr. Renford Doerr and his staff there at 2020 Vision Radio, and particularly to Carmen Lady C. Griffin. They are part of this complex of the Federation, as we nicely speak about it. And it's good to hear that some stuff here in St. Kitts Nevis and people acknowledging it's the Federation. It suggests that we are coming together. But we've got our problems and challenges as well. Good morning to the people over there in St. Kitts and Nevis. I'm going to go across to the UK, where I'm going to say good morning to Omel and Michelle over there in the UK. I'm hoping that they are enjoying their morning with us. It's nice, long days, lots of sunshine over there in the UK. People should be getting up from their slumber, recovering from their sense of depression that they bring over the cold and lonely days. Yeah, they do get some rain and coldness and things, but these are the great days of summer. Good morning to you. I'm hoping that you are having this great and inspiring day with us. I'm going to come on across the channel. I'm going to start in Fort Lauderdale, and I'm going to say good morning to Marva Jones, my favorite celebrity, Tiffany, my brother Malik, and little sister Tanaya. Good morning to you. I'm also going to say good morning to Elimat, King Elimat, that is, and our thoughts and prayers also go with the brother in his challenges of health. Yeah. We hear from him from time to time, and he lets us know, yeah, I'm here, I'm listening, but, you know, circumstances prevent us from coming in. But we do hear from the brother from time to time, and we are reminded of his presence. He's a genius in his own right, after all, and he's out of the Federation of St. Cecilia, so we claim he's ours. Good morning to Mr. Jerome Cutler Richardson, down there in Cutler Ridge, the southwest Miami. And he comes to you that way by way of Sandy Point. Clive Cutner, our joyous entertainer, brings us a laugh here and there. Good morning, Cutner. We're looking to hear from you. I'm going to go on up to Georgia, where I'm going to say good morning to Monique, Yvette, and Barbara up there in Georgia sometimes tuning in, listening to us, and enjoying our show as well. It's quite, you know, expressive. So that's why we got our special fans to tell us, you didn't do this right, or you can do this better, or it's great. Whichever way we hear from them, we agree. Good morning to you. I hope you let your answer this day. And I'm going to go on over to Melbourne, where I'm going to say good morning to my dear sister, Yvonne, over there in Melbourne, Florida. You know, I always remember her with her smiling face. Even though she doesn't always smile, she makes good mockery of me sometimes. But she and I get to laugh sometimes. Good morning, Yvonne. Hoping that you're having a great time. It's always great to know we have you around. Good morning to you. And finally, I'm going to say good morning to Kathleen, who does this show's inspiration on our greatest show on earth. Inspiration of ours. So we consider her the inspiration of ours, greatest fan. Good morning, Kathleen. Hoping that you're having this great day as well. And with that said, good morning to all fans, friends, supporters of the... You know, I'm forgetting my group again. I got to say good morning. I don't know which ones of them are listening, but I got to particularly say good morning to Cecilia up there in New York. You know, she has confused me for a bit. She spent so much time over in Nevis that I can't fix on whether to say good morning to her in Nevis or in New York. I got to think about it a bit. Good morning, Cecilia. Cecilia Wallace, that is. And hoping that she's having a great time there. And to my friends and classmates of the class of 1972. And to particularly to my friend and classmate, Earl Sargent, over there in morning to you, and hoping that you, my friends, are having a great time at this, whatever the circumstances may be. Hopefully, I can introduce my classmates to be part of this transformation that I've heard these youngsters talking about. They are not out there all doing, you know, dirty work. It's amazing to see a lot of these youngsters are thinking about the transformation of the Caribbean to make it a place that we all can live in. That, to me, is really exciting. So to all fans, friends, and supporters, good morning to you. Have a great day with us. Right about now, I am going to bring in, I'll say a few words for the Antigua and Barbuda CARE. That's an organization that has been put together and run by John and Debbie. Now, that is running an organization like that and trying to complete its objectives is not an easy task. So, you know, for a while, Don and Debbie came onto themselves and shared what they're looking for, but they have not been able to get that level of assistance. So they've got to be taken up the task that other people would have been helpful to do. So it's not a paying job. Sometimes people call it a thankless job, but they're not looking for thanks from somebody else. They get their gratification from knowing that they've helped other people, because they're objective and they've taken on a big task. Tasks that should have been undertaken by people in positions of authority, greater authority and power than they have, but they're working with what they have to do what they can. They're trying to heal the world. That's not enough.
think about the generations and to say we want to make it a better place for our children and our children's children so that they know it's a better world for them and think they can make it a better place.
There's a place in your heart, and I know that it is love. And a place much brighter than tomorrow. And if you really try, you'll find there's no need to cry. In a place you feel there's no hurt or sorrow. There are ways to get there if you care enough for the living. Make a little space, make a better place. Heal the world, make it a better place.
Let me bring Dennis in to offer a plug for the Antigua and Barbuda case. Dennis, come on in.
Good morning to you, Cardinal, and of course, all your other listeners, wherever they are in the world. It appears that you're flying solo today, but nonetheless, it's sad that once it transpired with, Ivor and his family. At any rate, this time of the day, it's a time when we pause to take stock and remember these families who are not as fortunate as things may be today. There, Debbie and Dawn, of course, have worked tirelessly to try and keep these families in your... We certainly want to remind you to give what you can to help families who are in desperate need. there are families who would be very happy to accept whatever gifts you can, whether it's be a material in terms of books, food items, clothing, any matters that can help to relieve the stress. Debbie and Dawn have been working with us and been calling and appealing for many weeks for you to dig deep and assist those people. They are not selfish people. They, in fact, they're very selfless. They've donated their time, their efforts, along with the Antigua and Barbuda Care Group also. And they have been collecting whatever they can. Once again, this is a time to remind you to please, please dig deep and help. The appeal is for donation of food, material, money, school supplies, whatever you can. You can contact Debbie at 845-820-6598. That's Debbie Campbell, NYC, at AOL.com. Debbie Campbell, NYC, at AOL.com. Dawn Kirton, at KIRTON697, at gmail.com. Whatever you can, please take a moment to make a commitment to help those who are in grave need. Thank you. Back to you, Cardinal.
Thanks, Dennis. And I'm sure the organizers and administrators of Antigua and Barbuda would appreciate your efforts in keeping that organization going with asking for the assistance of those who have the will to do so. We thank our listeners for their attention to this cause, and we thank Dawn and Debbie for giving us the opportunity to share with them that effort which they put into attending to assist in healing the world and relieving other people of the destitution that might have befallen. Nothing that might have befallen them. Nothing having to do with any fault of theirs. We appreciate that. That said, let's end this session and ask you for your help.
About the generations and to say we want to make it a better place for our children and our children's children so that they know it's a better world for them and think they can make it a better place.
There's a place in your heart and I know that it is love. Brighter than tomorrow. And if you really try, you'll find there's no need to cry. In a place you feel there's no hurt or sorrow. There are ways to get there. If you care enough for the living, make a little space. Make a better place. Heal the world. Thank you.
Anniversaries, birthdays, and historical notes that are important to people over the end of the year. And we've got a promise of it from Mr. Audley Watson. So here on the day 10th of June, 2020, anniversaries and historical notes, compliments of Mr. Audley Watson. It is the birthday of Peter Stridham out of South Africa, Albie Marker, David Miller, Dane Vilas out of Scotland, Rudy Webster, Nick Dyer out of England, Scott Elstone, Ian Blackwell out of Sri Lanka, Eric Opasansia, Lakshan Sandakai out of Pakistan, Kuram Manzoor out of the Netherlands, Floris Jansson out of Estonia, Ramesh Chana out of Italy, Fida Hussein out of today, as you heard Donna say, is Donna's granddaughter, Janique Webb. Today is the birthday of the friend of Irma Thompson, Miss Margaret Southwell, living right here on St. Croix. Happy birthday, Margaret, from Irma and the gang here at the Saturday Morning Entertainment Show. International reggae singer, Maxie Priest, it's his birthday, English accent. Actress Elizabeth Hurley, it's her birthday. Lily Savitsky, actress and artist. Figure skater Tara Lipinski. Hachi McDaniel, the first American, African-American actress to win an Oscar. You remember that lady from the, what was it, Gone with the Wind movie? That's Hachi McDaniel. The British playwright, Terence Rattigan. Today is the birthday, would have been the birthday of the Duke of Edinburgh, Prince Philip. He died in 2021. American actress Judy Garland. American comedian podcaster Bill Burr, an interesting kind of guy. Sasha Obama is 22 today. Amobi Okeya, a Nigerian-born American football player. His birthday is today. John Edwards, a former Democratic Senator from North Carolina and former presidential candidate. His birthday is today. Kate Upton, model. Elliot Spitzer, former governor of New York. Bobby Jindal, a politician, former governor of California. It was in 323 BC that Alexander the Great, as was called him, the Macedonian leader, dies at the age of 32 after creating all kind of mischief in the world. So it's not only the good that die young. Yeah, some of them do. In 1605, Dmitry I, an imposter, was crowned the Russian Tsar. I don't know how he became an imposter, but that's what history says. In 1639, the first American log cabin was built at Fort Christina in Wilmington, Delaware. In 1692, the first victim of the Salem witch trials, Bridget Bishop, is hanged for witchcraft in the colony of Massachusetts, which is now the state of Massachusetts. In 1720, Mrs. Clement of England markets her first paste and style mustard in 1752. Benjamin Franklin is testing his light conductor with his kite flying experiment in 1786. A landslide dam on the Dado River caused by earthquake 10 days earlier collapses, killing 100,000 in the Sichuan province of China. In 1809, the first U.S. steamboat makes an ocean voyage, leaves New York for Philadelphia. In 1845, Andrew Jackson, that's the U.S. president, the African grey parrot, Paul, is removed from the funeral for swearing at the Hermitage, Tennessee. Okay. We like that kind of parrot? Okay, I will tell you what the parrot says. If they're moving from the funeral, then he must have been bad. In 1854, the first class of United States Naval Academy students were graduated. In 1892, Baltimore catcher Wilbert Robinson set the Major League Baseball record by going 7-for-7 in a 9-inning game. Those of you who are familiar with baseball would know what that means. Orioles routed St. Louis Cardinals 25-4 at Oriole Park. In 1898, U.S. Marines land in Cuba. Remember the Spanish-American War? That's what they call it. In 1908, the Australian Parliament passes the Invalid and Old Age Pension Act, providing for pensions for British subjects, but excluded the indigenous peoples of Australia. In 1924, the first politician convention broadcast on radio, Republicans at Cleveland, Ohio. In 1935, in Akron, Ohio, Dr. Bob, from Akron, and Bill Wilson from New York, from Alcoholics Anonymous. In 1940, Jamaica's first national hero and black nationalist, who began the Black Back to Africa movement, Marcus Garvey, among U.S. African Americans, dies at the age of 52. One of the forces of transformation in the Caribbean. In 1943, Franklin Roosevelt became the first U.S. president to visit a foreign country during wartime. In 1946, Jack Johnson, the first African-American heavyweight boxing champion, dies in a car accident at the age of 68. In 1963, the U.S. Equal Pay Act was signed into law by then President John F. Kennedy. 1963. In 1967, Israel, Syria, Jordan, and Egypt end the Six-Day War with the help of the United Nations, but not before Israel captured Jerusalem. The price had been won, the UN steps in, the war is going to be over now. In 1977, Apple Computer ships its first Apple II computers. In 1977, American golfer Al Guy Berger becomes the first player in history of golf to post a sub-60 score of 59. In 2003, the Spirit rover is launched, beginning NASA's Mars exploration and the rover mission. In 2004, American singer and pianist who pioneered soul music, Ray Charles, dies at the age of 73. In 2004, mother actress Ali Landry divorces actor husband Mario Lopez due to irreconcilable differences after 2 weeks of marriage. At least they had 2 weeks, better than 10 days. Those are your anniversaries, birthdays, and historical notes for today, June 10th, 2020.
Cardinal?
Come on in, Dennis. Yes.
I just wanted to stop by and give you some sports, at least some cricket news as related
awesome
to the West
sport.
Indies. Yes.
Okay. Go on, Dennis.
Many of our
David is, absent.
Yeah, many of our listeners will may be aware that the UAE, the West Indies A team has been, or rather the West Indies team playing in the UAE in some warm-up matches. They won the first ODI, these were ODI matches. First one on the 4th of June was won by the West Indies, 206 chasing 202. Second ODI, the West Indies also won that one, scored 306 and bowled the UAE out for 228. And the final match on that series was played yesterday, and the UAE scored 184 for the loss of their 10 wickets, and the West Indies scored 185 for 6. So they won that match by 4 wickets, with Athanase scoring 65 yesterday and Brooks 39, Charles 27 and Carty 20. And wicket section, Sinclair claimed 4 for 24, Kariah 2 for 34, Reefer 1 for 16, and Paul 1 for 22. So the West Indies had a clean sweep on that warm-up matches for getting ready for the World Cup ODI matches, which is going to be played in India later this year. Currently, the West Indies have moved on to Zimbabwe, where they'll be playing their warm-up matches prior to the qualifying matches for the ODI World Cup. And on Tuesday, June the 13th, the West Indies will play Scotland in a warm-up match. And on Thursday, June the 15th, the USA will also play United Arab Emirates on the 13th. And on Thursday the 15th, we'll have the West Indies playing the United Arab Emirates again in a warm-up. And the United States will be playing Oman also in that warm-up match. Then the matches, the qualifying matches, get going on Sunday, June the 18th. And we will see the West Indies taking on United States on Sunday, June the 18th. And the Tuesday, June the 20th, the Nepal will take on the USA. On Thursday, June 27th, West Indies will play Nepal, while Netherlands and the USA will clash. And on June the 24th, Zimbabwe will play the West Indies, and on June the 26th, West Indies will take on the Netherlands, while Zimbabwe take on the Zimbabwe. Now, the qualifying group for this series, West Indies is in Group A with Netherlands, Nepal, USA, and Zimbabwe. And in Group B, we have Sri Lanka, Ireland, Scotland, Oman, and UAE. The teams will play each group team once, and then the top three in each group go to the Super Six playoff. Three Super Six matches against the side not in their original group. And the top two finishers will qualify for the World. I think the ODI World Cup is coming up in September, I think it is, in India. And those matches will obviously be carried by the various, broadcasting TV services. Also, looking ahead, we have the CWI announced the West Indies women will host the Irish ladies with a series of ODIs and three and T20s. The first ODI will take place, or is scheduled to take place, on the 26th of June. I know it's 9 a.m. Jamaica time. Unfortunately, I can't give you the other Caribbean island time, but I can tell you that the first ODI against the Irish, the West Indies women, first ODI on June 26th. The second ODI is on June 28th. Again, these matches are being played in St. Lucia, and they are going to be streamed on the Windies Cricket YouTube channel. Third ODI is July the 1st, and set your calendars for July the 4th, American Independence Day, where the first T20 with the West Indies women against the Ireland, the Irish ladies at 4 p.m. Jamaica time. That's July the 4th. And the second T20 will be on July the 6th at the same time, 4 p.m. Jamaica time. And the third T20 will be on July the 8th at 4 p.m. So there we have it. If you miss any of these details, you know, you can always call the station at Caribbean Global, and we'll certainly to be able to give you those dates again. But keep your eyes open, because some exciting cricket is about to commence. Currently today we have the World Test Series Championship final between Australia and India. And in the final stage of play, Australia have declared and set India a target of 444 to win, with a day and just about a day and a half to go. Currently, India is 74 for one after 14 overs. They're scoring at a really steady clip, which I think is much faster than they normally score in test matches, because they're scoring at about 4 to 5 runs an over. Currently, India 74 for one, chasing 444 to walk away with the championship and, of course, a sound $1 million in prize money. The runner-up, whoever this is from these two teams, they stand to take home $800,000 US. And the West Indies and other teams who did not make the qualification stage will get varying amounts of funds. I think the West Indies will probably be getting somewhere in the region of $100,000 for having participated in the entire series, although they did not qualify for the World Test Championship. Cardinal, those are a quick summary, the current cricket news with regards to the World Test Championship and, of course, the West Indies male and female teams upcoming. Thanks. Take care. And back to you.
Yes, that was Dennis giving us a summary of cricket action here, and you can hear more of that tomorrow on the cricket show from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. You would also hear discussion, you know, vibrant discussion on the, you know, the state of cricket and the and its participants. So join them tomorrow, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. We are coming down close to the 11:15, you know, 11:15. And at this point, I'm going to introduce the thought commentary. Okay? Now, if you listen to cricket fans of the Caribbean, you would hear the sound of disappointment as to the stage of cricket in the Caribbean at this time. And those fans who are maybe have come of age in the 60s and 70s, who remember West Indies cricket journey to being the top performer into the world, in the world, you will hear a kind of lamentation of how long we have been under and whether or not we can get out of that mess. If you listen to commentators of the conditions of social circumstances in the Caribbean, you would hear the same thing. You would hear that there was a time when we were progressing towards transforming our society into one that served us, and now we are at a point where we are feeling a sense of crisis in education, in economics, in politics, in any area of social activity that you want to talk about. If you talk to West Indian people, or if you talk to Caribbean people who have understood what they saw in the development of the Caribbean from Columbus to Castro, you will hear a kind of lamentation. The lamentation in the cricket discussion is no different to the rest of the crisis in the rest of the Caribbean. Food security, national security, the state of our sovereignty as what we now call independent nations. And you would wonder, where did this crisis come from? Now, the most recent commentary I saw noted that the Caribbean seemed to be adrift, wandering aimlessly through a sea of existential threats of debt, social disorder, climate change, pandemic, and every other episode of global turmoil. Occasionally, one of our leaders shares a vision that catches our attention, and for a fleeting moment, we look up from the ground that is shifting under our feet, mainly for economic reasons. Now, in recent times, that voice has been the voice of the Prime Minister of Barbados, the Honorable Mia Mottley. But even more recently, there was a statement from who will be recognized as elder statesman, Peter Patterson, the former Prime Minister of Jamaica, and I think a Deputy Prime Minister to Michael Manley, at a conference on the state of Black World, organized by the Institute of the Black World in the United States, Patterson said that the democracy ought not to be limited to two parties that subscribe to capitalism competing in elections for power. I don't know how many people got that, but that's the state of our Caribbean today. He called out the hypocrisy corrupting electoral and judicial systems at home while using democracy as a tool of destabilization and interference in the developmental processes abroad, especially in Africa and the Caribbean. The struggle against oppression slavery, colonialism, naturally extends into the building of inclusive societies that are respectful of the people and the natural environment that nurtures them. Now, I want to know, what do you think? Now, we just heard Lynette and Donna made a slight comment on the circumstances in the Federation. I want to bring them in and let them tell us what those circumstances are. And maybe a commentary on how they think that these circumstances relate to the idea that the Caribbean, they would tell you circumstances in the Federation. How does these circumstances relate to the fact that the Caribbean is in a crisis? And as P.J. Patterson stated, what does this have to do with the hypocrisy of democracy? Which one are you, Kalikanamani? Dana, Linus, one of you. Tell us what those circumstances you would want to talk about.
Well, what I understood coming out of St. Kitts and Nevis is that we have had 4 murders in 2 days, and I think the total has gotten to some maybe 14 or 16 for the year already.
16 for 2023, but it's about 23 or 24, somewhere there, since the new government went in. So from August last year to now, we have about 23.
Okay.
Which is not good. It's not good at all. And out of the 16 that we have this year, 15 was gun related.
Okay.
Not good.
Let me ask,
that's a big problem.
Let me ask this question first of all. What is the population of St. Kitts and Nevis at this time?
Well, it's about 50.
About 50,000 people. And about 50,000 people, 16 have been killed by gun violence.
In 5 months.
In 5 months. That's a massive figure. When you think in terms of human population, and that the idea that society, the term society conceptualizes people coming together for the protection of human welfare and to enhance human survival. Now,
and just imagine 15 by gun. We don't manufacture
murders.
The gun. Our customs tight, because I import things, and I know what I go through when I go to the port. So I don't know where they're coming in.
So I'm asking you, if you were to slip a gun within your import, would customs find it?
If you were to slip it where?
Inside your imports. You're importing whatever you're importing.
Yes, they do, I'm talking from my perspective. When I bring in a barrel, a box, a suitcase, that everything is taken out.
Okay.
Everything is taken out. Just put in a big wooden cart. Every single thing. I always have to pay one of the boys who work at the port to put the pack it back for me. So from my perspective, they do a thorough search on me. I don't know about the rest. But you could talk about me. Everything is taken out.
So from your experience,
the last time I brought in a barrel, there was a big thing of sugar. The custom officer actually had the sugar turning it upside down, so. So if they are doing that to everybody, there's no way they could pass up the port. That's from my perspective.
Okay.
But,
so,
Lynette, you have to look at it.
Uh-huh.
Donna?
I was saying that bringing them through the port, that's legal, but there are lots of illegal ways in which firearms come to St. Kitts Navy, and especially at night.
Well, I know our borders are porous. I know that for sure.
I've been hearing that most of those things come through by night.
So,
you gotta be.
How many people could be involved in penetrating these porous bodies.
I don't know, it's amazing.
Let's suppose that the guns and so on do not come to custom. But someone mentioned the borders are porous. How many people would there be, you know, an estimate of how many people could there be that could penetrate these porous borders, find the holes in the border and come through those holes and get... Let's suppose that the weapons, the guns, are not being brought through customs. Because customs is thorough in its search. And if they did come to customs, then customs would find them. Now, the second question, the second concern is that the borders are porous. There are ways in which people can bring these guns without the guns in without requiring the inspection from customs. How many people would be involved? Or has the government asked this question? If they are not coming to customs, how many people can be involved in bringing these to the porous border? The second question would be, where are these holes? Has any inquiry been made into that, do you know?
And the third question is, how are they getting into the hands of those young boys who don't work nowhere? Where are they getting money from to buy them? Because when people are caught, it's very young people who on the PEP and the PEAS and the SAP and all the things that the government is giving out, they don't work nowhere. And I'm sure guns
services.
Are not cheap.
Yeah, you said they are, these are people. Most of these people are people who are dependent on government social services for sustaining life, more or less.
But how are they getting into their hands?
From what they're getting into their hands is not adequate to buy guns. So their financing has to be coming from someplace else.
But that's the question.
Financing at all.
You see, we just, there's a big puzzle right there.
Okay. So are there any inquiries like you've done? Are there any inquiries as to identifying the holes in the porous border where these illegal substances and products might be coming through? Is there any inquiry? Is there any investigation to find these holes? Has the law enforcement agencies, the government executive offices, have they set up any task force to investigate the proliferation of weapons, firearms, that is coming into the Federation?
I assume so. I mean, with this big upsurge,
okay. They
got to be doing something. I can't pinpoint anything.
They should be doing something. They should be doing something. My question is, are they? Dennis, come on in.
Well, you know, on this question, I'm not going to say that I have the answer or I know all the answers, but one thing that should be remembered is that we're discussing an island nation, which means this island is surrounded by plenty of ocean, and it doesn't take much for boats to come in at any point around that perimeter and evade customs or evade whatever.
Immigration
or police or Coast Guard activity there. So it is very, very easy for those who are intent on perpetrating actions that, you know, smuggling of weapons, to be able to sneak in, as you pointed out earlier, or somebody pointed out anyway, in the dead of night. Because Coast Guard, obviously, I don't know if they would have sufficient resources to be able to man all possible areas of the island in a 24-hour period. That would require an enormous amount of manpower. So it's very easy for these weapons to get smuggled into the island. And as far as the murder rate, you know, this is not something that surprised me in any way, because we've seen the same type of activities in Jamaica, where obviously Jamaica is a little larger in terms of population size, but the amount of murders that have been committed via the use of guns is absolutely mind-boggling. And I'm sure that most of these weapons coming into the island of Jamaica comes in that type of way. Many, many boats can go off, meet other smuggling boats somewhere close inland, and of course, before you know it, the island is overrun with guns. And so there are a lot of crimes being committed. People who are not willing to work will, of course, acquire one of these weapons and use that as a means of intimidating, robbing, stealing, pillaging, you know, the communities at large. So it's a big problem, and it gets worse with the fact that, you know, most of these Caribbean islands require tourism as one of their main source of revenue. And this type of activity going on obviously drives away tourism, which means that your revenue is down, social services is affected, and consequently things get worse instead of better. And as a result of that, it's almost impossible to stop things going further and further down the drain. It's a really sad, sad situation, Cardinal, and that's just, you know, my initial thought on the topic that you just raised. Back to you.
Yep. Extremely sad.
Okay.
I agree.
Yeah, Dennis, we started talking about this with Donna and Lynette. We started talking about the manifestation of these antagonisms in St. Kitts. 16 murders in 5 months, 15 of them by weapons. Which means if we could eliminate the weapon, maybe we would have eliminated the murders. But then there's the other thing. Somebody is dead, which means somebody have a mindset to kill somebody else. Somebody wants to own a weapon, a firearm. The only reason why you would want to own a firearm is because you would want to destroy somebody's life. That's the only reason a firearm is created, is to destroy life. It's not like a knife that could be a utility instrument and it could be used to butcher your goat or your sheep to have a good, nice celebration and other useful things that you can do. The gun is made for one purpose and one purpose only. That is to destroy life. So with regard to the disposition, the mental disposition to want to destroy someone's life, how do we see this killing in St. Kitts, in Jamaica, in St. Lucia, in the Virgin Islands, as part of a Caribbean crisis that threatens our complete survival, and how do we challenge this crisis? First of all, is what's happening in St. Kitts and Jamaica a statement of a Caribbean crisis? The fact that we didn't say the Bahamas or Barbados doesn't mean that the Bahamas and Barbados are not involved in this crisis. Is there a crisis in the Caribbean?
Of course there are. Of course there is a crisis.
In the Caribbean?
Of course.
Not just in
yes. A gun crisis, because we don't manufacture guns.
What is the origin of this crisis, and how do we tackle it? In order for us to tackle it, we have to understand its origin. For instance, we have to understand where the guns are coming in St. Kitts. We have to understand what is it the desire of young Christians and the vision to acquire guns. What is the result? Where is that? So, how do we begin to address this? Right? Now, let me say this. I remember back in 1981, I read a story in the Caribbean Hunter, probably it was not 81, maybe it was even before that, that the CIA had flooded Jamaica with guns in order to disrupt the re-election and create and pay off youngsters to create unrest in order to prevent the re-election of Dr. Michael Manley. Now, when that was over, those guns were still hanging around Jamaica, and a passageway had been opened up, both in terms of access to guns and in terms of creating the destitution that make these fellows want to acquire guns. The story is told that little fella called Lil Nut, that was in St. Kitts and Nevis, is one of those young men who was paid money, and it is claimed that he testified to that. He was paid money, given a gun to cause disruption in Jamaica. He got out of jail in Jamaica, nobody knows how, and ended up in the United States. He ended up being a part of a Jamaican group called the Shower Posse. And when he was caught, he testified against his gang and then was put into a witness protection program, which having him ended up in St. Kitts. That's the information that I got. It's truth I cannot verify. So, but we know for sure that he was in St. Kitts for a while until he was extradited. I don't even know if that's an extradition, but the U.S. government came and got him, took him back into the United States. Okay? That's what I understand. And he's still in the United States. Okay. Now, I am asking, what efforts are being put in place by our governments in the Caribbean, in St. Kitts and Nevis, in Barbados, in Jamaica, in the Bahamas? What efforts do you see are being put in place? I can tell you for the Virgin Islands, I don't see any. But you who live in St. Kitts and Nevis, Lynette, if you know of it by any other form, if you've got any information, what is it that you see, that you identify, that you have heard of, that sounds as if the government recognizes that there's a crisis and is making efforts to challenge this crisis?
Well, but I know
let
that...
Let me come in here,
okay, let Donna come in.
I was thinking,
for you, Donna.
When the other government was there, right? They put in place something called a peace program, which is telling me that they know who the troublemakers are.
Okay.
And they put these people and the peace program paying them to keep the peace. So they can identify the persons who are the problem makers. Okay, so I think I heard that the peace program was discontinued. The peace program was discontinued after the new government came in, right? And what happened?
Mm-hmm.
I heard a figure of 8.
Here we go again. Huh? They know who creating all this problem down there. They know them.
So,
but the thing is, they can't catch them in the act. It seems as if there is no way to catch them in the act. But they know who they are.
So wait a minute. You said the peace program. These guys are paid to keep the peace.
They
so
pay to keep the peace.
So what then we are the law enforcement officers. What are they paid? Because that's who I know in my time were paid to keep the peace.
Yeah, but now the gangsters are being paid to keep the peace. If the gangsters are not getting the gangsters, they're not getting the money to keep the peace now, so the war starts again.
Okay. But if they are facing this peace, what is the role of our Attorney General's office and the law enforcement, the Department of Law Enforcement? What is their role? What are they paid for?
Good question.
I don't know.
Okay.
Can I pause it?
You got a thought?
Can I pose it a thought here? You say, what are the roles of the Attorney General, I believe you said. You know, most countries such as, let's say the Caribbean in particular, and, you know, we see it here in the United States, are countries that believe very, very deeply in the rule of law and order. But only an authoritarian country will walk in and swoop in and grab those they suspect. In other words, what I'm trying to say is that before you can try these people, you need to catch them in an act and have evidence that they have perpetrated a crime according to our Constitution. And if these people
totally
are
agree.
openly committing crimes, although you may know that they are responsible, no, i.e. not know because you have evidence, but suspicion, then it is difficult to arrest them and incarcerate them if you're in a democratic society that believes in the rule of law and order. Now, you ask what people need the guns for. People use the guns to intimidate, but they are not unwilling to use it to further intimidate, such as to achieve their end. And that's primarily what this gun is being used for. And if you think about it, even here in the United States, with all the development and riches and so on that we have, there are dozens and dozens of street gangs in various communities. And murders are being committed, you know, at an alarming rate within the United States, with our millions of police forces and law and order and court system. So if the United States is having such a problem with this situation, what do you think Caribbean nations with their limited resource can do? Caribbean nations struggles to feed, clothe, and keep the lights on in many places in their communities. And so in terms of finding the funds to secure their community, it is not an easy task, because those who are intent on destroying our society have no morals, and they are not put off by the thought of going to prison for 6 months or 2 years or so on and so forth. So this is a very sad situation, and it's not just happening in the Caribbean. It's probably being noticed more in the Caribbean because of the proliferations of more weapons. But it's not just in the Caribbean. It's happening the world over. And it's very sad to see, you know, members of your own community brutalizing, murdering, killing, and pillaging. It is not a nice situation. Back to you, Cardinal.
Well, the Caribbean leaders met with Kamala Harris this week, so I hope that was the biggest topic.
I don't know that that will stop this.
Dennis just indicated that we have the same problem in the United States. Why would Caribbean
leaders
want
to meet with them? They make guns. We don't make no guns. So why we have the same problem?
Okay. Well, if Kamala Harris doesn't know how to solve the problem, what would Caribbean government need to go to Kamala Harris for us to look for a solution? That seems to me to be kind of backwards.
Well, they met with her this week, because I saw that on Facebook.
And our prime minister
was there. Mm-hmm.
What did they meet with her for? Did they tell anybody what they were going to meet for? What was this going to be on the table? What was the discussion?
Well, I guess it's different
so
topics
than
crime would have been. The crime and gun situation would have been one of them, I'm sure.
Okay, you're sure, but you're not. You think it should
I'm not
be,
sure. No,
but
no,
you
no,
don't
no.
know.
I shouldn't say I'm hoping.
Okay. So hopefully they did have that discussion, and hopefully they would be telling the people what came out of that meeting and what they expect to do, what they carried away from that discussion in terms of resolving these antagonisms that face us here in the Federation of St. Kitts and Nevis. Now, I'm going to ask this question, Dana. Do you think that education plays any role, has any role to play in challenging this crisis? You being an educator for so many years, you know what you saw. You know what your role was. Do you think that education has any role to play in resolving this crisis? Dana?
I would think so. Because
yeah.
I think many of these persons who go to crime, to me, some of them are like drop out from school, you know.
Uh-huh, okay.
Some are, so if some are not. They got some
and then, where they are, and then some of them are influenced by others who are being successful in the trade. They like, it seems to me like they these fellas who are into this thing, they try to encourage these little boys, some little boys at 8. They start to indoctrinate them. So if there's something education can do to counter that, we might see some difference. Because those persons who are fully into it, they are trying to get at those children at a young, very young age.
Actually, I saw a video where the police were having an interview on a radio station, and he said that the gangs are in the primary school. He said it.
Okay.
He said it. Primary school are children from 5 to 12.
To 12, yeah. Now tell me, what are you doing with gangs in school
where,
like that?
So where are the parents when children have time to do those things? Where are your parents? Where are the parents?
You know, Donna, Lynette, I don't think it's so much the parents, because you have to remember the 12-year-old goes to school. Once they're not in the house, in the parents' house, they are influenced by older people with rewards of not just of money, food, clothing, whatever it is. And so the parents are not really aware of the type of influences that their children are exposed to, which is what's driving.
Really, they don't know what
the
children are doing.
Right.
For you to
play.
How people have children in their houses and don't know what they're doing?
Oh, it's possible.
Talking from a parent's perspective.
It's possible.
Tell me.
Yeah, you know.
It's possible?
Because for a parent.
Really?
No, yes, because parents have to go out and try their best, especially in the Caribbean. They have to try their best. Dare I use the term hustle, quote unquote, hustle to find food and clothing. They don't have the time to, dare I say, babysit their 12-year-old for entire period that they should normally be in the household. And so it's easy for the rewards being offered by bad people, the young ones, to influence them much more easily and subtly than you will think. And therefore, this is a problem that parents cannot always be held accountable for. Parents do their best, but children, you know, young ones have ways of keeping things away from the parents. And if the parents are too busy hustling, and I'm not blaming the parents because I recognize the economic situation which put them in that place or that position, where they have to sometimes rely on the children or the young ones, you know, policing themselves for a short period of time. So it definitely, I can't blame the parents. Yes, education will help. But even the educated ones in here in the United States are falling prey to this gang situation involving guns and violence. So it's not always the answer. As far as Kamala going
that
down
might,
there.
That,
and,
might, that might be radical,
okay, I have this,
but I will not give that for a general consensus. No. No.
I'm gonna pause.
Parents
I'm gonna pause
must
this
know
I'm gonna
what's
pause
happening
this question,
with their children.
I'm gonna pause this question. As I listened to the back and forth between you and them. I opened up the segment by playing a calypso from the Mighty Sparrow. The punchline is of that calypso, the good citizens are the architects of slavery. The good citizens, I interpret that as saying, are the architects, the ones we call honorable, His Excellency, His Majesty, Your Honor. Those are the good citizens. And Sparrow's punchline says, the good citizens are the ones who actually created this crisis. Now, we can't get away from the fact, as we deal with the United States was created out of a very violent and ruthless criminal enterprise. The gun is an instrument of its development. So it finds itself in a situation where it can't get rid of it. It needs it. It manufactures it. So those who have the authority and are telling me that they're just sitting there wringing their hands, don't know what to do. They know what to do. They're just not doing it because what they are trying to destroy is the essence of their existence, and they're not going to do that. So, Sparrow's Calypso now, how much do you think, how much truth there is in Sparrow's Calypso that the crisis in our societies is created in the first place by good citizens? How much truth there is to that? I'm going to let any one of you answer.
Good citizens?
Well, I think Sarah was just hinting that they are the ones who put the laws in place, and maybe whatever they are doing at the top is not right for the common man.
Exactly.
And so you must be really good citizen, not good citizens out in front and behind is a bad one. You must be truly, truly, truly good citizen. Not portraying hypocriteness.
Okay.
Cardinal, quote, and I put this in quotes, good citizen. Remember, there's an element of truth in what Sparrow, or the Calypsonian has said. And that's because the quote-unquote good citizens are the ones who force their way top of the barrel, and then once they're there, refuse to display any kind of goodness. For example, you only have to look at current situation here in the United States, where we witness one political party who throughout the ages historically have been a party that supports, dare I use the term, law and order. This party suddenly now, since in the last few years, are sitting on top of a good citizen who not only wants to cheat and steal an election, but those good citizens in his column are there supporting him even when the evidence overwhelmingly points to all the bad things that he's doing. So yes, the Calypsonian is definitely right and has much merit in what he says. The good citizens orchestrate a lot of what we're doing. And I say in quotes, the good citizens are those citizens who once they gained a little power decides that they and they alone should exercise what is right and wrong.
And for me, And for me, a good citizen is a good parent. A parent who instill and set the right examples for their children and instill good moral values in their children. If children got good moral values, nobody could swear them. And I could tell you that. I come from my mother never worked. My father worked, and it was 10 of us. And nobody check up no gun shooting nobody.
But I
guess because my mother was the one who was a disciplinarian, and you could not come to her with any nonsense.
Lynette, I dare say
And people like to say, oh, you come from a single home or poor family. Don't tell me no more poor family. Poor family
makes
you not to be good citizens.
Those are thoughts that would like you to entertain for, you know, further discussion. It's coming close to a closing time. And I want to give the people one more tune, a commentary on the social circumstances that face us. This is one of the social commentators I talked about being the messengers of our culture. Died a year ago, or maybe 2 years ago. Bunny Wheeler. Listen to him talk about what he calls moderation.
Don't mean I'm done, don't be all. It
Yeah, we are about 5 minutes towards the end of closing off the show. It's been a wonderful 3 hours, and I thank you, Lynette, Dennis, Donna, for this wonderful exchange. So now I'm going to let you all say your goodbyes to the people, and we hope that our listeners enjoy this show and all that it has to offer. Dennis, come on in and tell the people goodbye. So long.
Okay, I did enjoy the show. I just want to wish everybody a good week coming up. I laid one of my close cousins, we got along really well, to rest on Thursday. And I just want to wish everybody a good week.
Okay, thank you. Dennis?
Yes, Cardinal, I would like to take this opportunity to invite your listeners to, don't close the weekend out just yet. Join us tomorrow on the cricket show at 1-515-605-9850. Call us to hear your opinions, your news, your views on the state of West Indies cricket and, of course, cricket in general at 1-515-605-9850. That is the cricket show every Sunday, 6 to 9 p.m. at www.blogtalkradio.com/thecricketshow. Join us and help us to put to rights all those bad points that we observe as far as West Indies cricket is concerned. Now, in parting, I'll let you know that India is now 109 for the loss of 3 wickets, chasing 444. They're about an hour away from close of play and a full day's play due tomorrow. So it's beginning to look as if it could go either way, but right now the odds are in favor of the RBs. Back to you.
Thank you, Dennis. Donna?
Yes, as usual, I did enjoy the program today, and missing the host just a little bit, but I hope he's over there somewhere enjoying himself in Tortola. And I'll bid everyone a good week next week, and listen to Cricket Show tomorrow from 6 to 9, and we'll meet up again. Okay? Have a good week, everyone.
Thank you. Thank you, and thank you for sharing your thoughts with us this morning. It's been a wonderful show, I think, but if the favorite fans will tell us otherwise, we are continuing to believe that it has been a wonderful show. We're happy that the fans would have enjoyed it. We're happy for you having us to join us this morning, and we can present something to you this morning that can incite you, inspire you, and want you to come on in and join this conversation. This is your host. Oh,
yes, and we want to say thank you to Murchis as well.
Yes, Murchis was there earlier.
And say hello to Kathleen as well. Okay. So this has been, yes, another wonderful show, I would hope. And we look forward to doing this again next week. And we're hoping that we have presented you with the kind of show as Caribbean people that you would, that would incite you, inspire you, educate you, and want you to get it, come in and share the conversation with us. We're going to do this again next week. It was my pleasure bringing it to you. This is Cardinal Mills, your host for today, signing off from the Caribbean Global Voices Saturday Morning Entertainment Show. Let me give you a few bars. Something else. My Mali says, in order to generate this crisis or to challenge this crisis, we have to unite as African people.
Africa, unite, cause we're moving right out of Babylon, and we're going to our father's land, yeah, how could I
Have a great week, everyone. Hoping to see you next week on another episode of the Saturday Morning Entertainment Show. So long.
So long. Goodbye.